You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today are Susan Sobin and Ian Wilson. Susan is Publicity and Community Outreach for the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and Ian is the Executive Director, and most of you are familiar with the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute as the OLLI program. And so they're here to talk about the classes that are being offered this semester, and registration has already begun. But before we carry on with that, we'd like to welcome you both again for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
We were talking about earlier about a lot of people know about OLLI, but they're not familiar with Osher, and why was it named after Mr. or Mrs. Osher?
Okay, that's a very interesting story. Bernard Osher is still alive. He's about 90 years old, or nearly 90. He is an East Coast philanthropist who made his fortune in finance and in art, and he even had an art auction house. It's his life passion to fund arts, education, and social services for all ages, and he's already donated hundreds of millions of dollars to do this. He's funded over 120 Osher Institutes for senior citizens in the U.S. at various colleges and universities to promote the arts and higher education.
And Susan, how did our program, because it used to be known as a Center for Lifelong Learning, how did our program get associated with Mr. Osher?
Well, the program, as you know, started in 1990. It was the Center for Lifelong Learning, founded by President Natalicio, and it was very successful. And then they were invited to join this nationwide network of similar learning centers for seniors. So in 2005, we became part of the Osher National Institute.
And most people who know about the program know that there are a variety of classes being offered, and as always, there's always some favorite ones, and they get repeated because people really enjoy taking these courses. And Susan is going to tell us a little bit more about some of the new courses being offered this semester. But as I mentioned, Ian Wilson, who is the executive director, is here with us also. And tell us a little bit about your role as far as putting this catalog together. And as I mentioned, you know, people like certain classes, but I'm sure you get requests for so many things that you're bombarded, basically.
Yes, we are, and we rely a lot on our members to provide ideas, what they want to attend, what they would like to learn, and then we put out a request to all the instructors who have taught in the past and ask them to provide us class proposals. So we get about 6 months ahead of time. We may get 70 to 80 class proposals, and we have a committee formed by the members who go over the class proposals and decide which ones they want to focus on, which ones they want to do for the coming semester. So that's what happened. I kind of oversee the whole process and to make sure that the instructors get the days that they can teach and make sure that there aren't any overlapping type of classes, and take care of all the little details like that. Prepare the print catalog, those kinds of things. But it's a lot of fun, especially working with the members. They're very, very happy about doing this and excited about looking at all the different classes that we have to offer. My overall objective really is to see our program grow. One of the things that happens with the Osher program is that when you reach a certain level of membership, they can provide you more funds. Right now, we're at around a 500 member, and we're receiving an endowment fund of $1 million. So we actually, our budget, we live off the interest of that endowment. We don't have $1 million to spend, unfortunately, but we live off the interest of that. And if we reach 1,000 members, that would double. So we would be very excited to doing that. So that's part of my job is to see us grow but grow in a manageable way. We obviously, if we had 1,000 students, we'd need more classrooms, more teachers. Everything grows. So we want to do that in a kind of a manageable way. And that's sort of been my focus.
And you've been on both sides because you're the director. You're putting together this thing along with the help of other people. But you've also taught some of the courses, and you taught an interesting class last semester.
Well, I actually started as a member. I'm part of the over 50 crowd, which, by the way, you have to be 50 to join Ollie. But there's a lot of folks out there. There's probably 200,000 folks here in the El Paso area who could join Ollie. So we've got a lot of people to reach. I started as a member and took some classes, and then this job opening came, and it fit my skills, and so I took it. But last year, I decided to teach a class myself. I have a background of living in Brazil, not only as a child but as an adult, and I taught a class on Brazilian music. So we talked about samba, bossa nova, Brazilian country music, Brazilian folkloric music, and we just had a great time listening to a lot of different artists, talking about their different rhythms, the different musical instruments. Susan was in the class.
I loved it. She can tell
you how much fun we had. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's too bad that we're not also video, because our audience could see some of these fantastic moves that you're showing us.
I didn't dance.
That's another show. Okay.
Well, we'll
get other people to dance.
Yeah.
So, Susan, you've been a student as well, but you also help bring in some of these other classes and recruit professors. And you mentioned before we started the interview out there some of the new classes being offered this semester, and they're pretty interesting, some of those.
They really are. Some of the new ones are, focus on Geoffrey Chaucer for literature. We're doing Troilus and Cressida, his play, and also a second course in the historical context of Chaucer's works. We're doing the Shakespeare play, Much Ado About Nothing, which we haven't done in a while. We're doing astronomy for seniors age 50 and over. Also, edible plants in the El Paso region, and a course named Molecular Modeling. In other words, how to draw molecules. We're also doing Memorable Mexicans, which focuses on 20th century artists and philosophers like Octavio Paz, Carlos Fuentes, Diego Rivera, Jose Orozco, and Frida Kahlo. Also, the War of the Roses in England. Another new one is Personalities, Understanding Ourselves and Others, a psychology class.
Are they going to read some of those books, or they're going to get an overview of the artists?
Probably an overview. There may be short readings, but they're covering so many people that the readings would be short, and I'm sure it includes some lecture, historical lecture as well.
Ian, what about recruiting? You mentioned students, that if you got 1,000, it would double your endowment money, but as far as recruiting professors, what are some of the prerequisites that you're looking for as far as teaching?
The main prerequisite is that you're experienced in any given, whatever it is you're going to teach, you have some background or some education in that particular area. There aren't a lot of other criteria for that. Certainly, we have to go through the deans of each of the colleges here at the university to make sure their professors have approval to teach our Ollie classes. And many of the deans have been cooperative in providing ideas of teachers who can come and give classes for us. So we do look over their background. We look over their academic experience. And we really interview folks and make sure that, number one, they can communicate effectively and they're able to condense a particular topic down to 6 weeks, which I think is the biggest challenge. Any topic that's taught by a PhD professor would, normally be, 10, 20-week class, and we're compacting it down to 6.
Ian or Susan, it doesn't matter. Either one of you can answer this question. Feel free to just jump in. There have been issues in the past where some seniors may feel like, it's been so long since I've been in school, I'm not sure if I would be out of place here, and perhaps some people are afraid that they may be, overshadowed by some people, or the fact that perhaps some of them didn't even go to college, but they want to learn. And so what would you say to those listeners?
Then I'd say that OLLI is the perfect place to start. We have no exams, no papers. People are just there to learn. Also, social contact is very important for OLLI. We want to meet people with our similar interests in our age group. So it's social as well as academic, and it's very low pressure.
And as far as classes go, is there a certain amount of people? Do you have a cap on how many students are allowed before the class mix?
Each class is unique. That would depend on what classroom, and it would also depend on whether the instructor can manage teaching a large group of people, or if it's like, for example, an art class where there's a lot of more hands-on and individual work, those classes would be smaller. I think our smallest class is 15 for an art class, and we've had classes that go up to 100. So, and those are more of the lecture type classes where folks can come in and listen and learn and often ask questions if they'd like to. But it's a very it's kind of an individual instructor classroom arrangement. So our classes are, as I said, 6 weeks. They're all in the afternoons from either 1:30 to 3, or from 3:15 to 4:45. So it's a good time. One of the benefits of being an OLLI member and coming to classes is that they have the privilege of parking in the Sun Bowl Garage, which is right next to the building, Miners Hall, where most of the classes are held. And that's a big draw, people. You don't have to pay for parking. So OLLI does pay for parking. It just doesn't, come directly out of the student's tuition.
Mm-hmm. We're also offering two classes in Spanish for people whose native language is Spanish and may feel more comfortable in that language. One is the work Los de Abajo, about the Mexican Revolution, and the other one is the conquest of Mexico.
And I'm curious about what kind of you just mentioned a couple here, but what other history classes are offered? Because a lot of these people who are enrolled in the school, in the classes, like, for example, as we're talking today, August 7th, the anniversary of the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and also on Nagasaki a couple days later, the end of the Civil War this last summer, the end of World War II. And there are just so many historical issues and things. As you mentioned, the revolution played a major role here in the El Paso area because Pancho Villa was known to come across and back, and mm-hmm. it was a pretty wide open border.
Mm-hmm. History plays a very large role in our classes. For example, in our humanities section, we're offering ancient teachings of modern times, which will focus on Buddhism. Also comparative religions, also the Gospel according to Mark. Films with a mind of their own focuses on documentaries. And then also the history of theater. So we always have some history going on.
And the classes themselves, in addition to the registration and all the other fees, are students required to buy anything for class that you might can think of?
Some of the art maybe? Classes have put out a list of required materials, which the participants can purchase or not. Obviously, if you don't have the materials, you can't learn the class. So most folks who take art will bring their own materials, pencils, ink, or paint, or whatever it is, the class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are provided by the students.
We're also doing themselves. A class in advanced wine tasting, and that has a fee.
Mm-hmm. Advanced, they have to be pretty advanced, right? Yeah, okay.
Well, in the fall, we did a basic wine tasting class all about wines in general. And the fall, we're doing kind of a second part of that, which is how do you call it? Wine pairings.
Mm-hmm.
So,
with food.
If mm-hmm. you, we're going to have a chef come in and prepare some kind of food.
What kind of wine would you choose?
And then the instructor will talk about all the different wines that would go with that food or with that dessert or, you know, with the entrees. So that's going to be an exciting class.
Mm-hmm. And as we're talking now, registration has started already. So in addition to calling or dropping by, a lot of people might want to do something online. What do they need to do?
Louis, we have a website called ollie@utep.org. And some information about Ollie is there, as well as our fall catalog. So you can look at all the classes. You can see the biographic information of the instructors. And there's a enrollment form you can actually print out and bring to class or mail it in if you'd like.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Those numbers again are 747-6280 or 747-8848. Mm-hmm. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineers, Belinda Fernandez. We also had help from Eddie Rosales. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz. Mm-hmm.